please open with me to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Well, it's a beautiful day outside, is it not? It's a great day to be together worshiping our God. I appreciated so much all the lessons we heard last week. The encouragement we were given and the challenges we were offered to be further unified in God's kingdom. And I pray that something all of us take to heart and really seek to have that unifying spirit and really try to be that one body that God tells us. Appreciate so much all the work that went into that. This morning, what I would like to do is present this week and next week a couple of lessons that are not really connected to the theme of the series that we just finished, but we're certainly motivated by it. What I want to talk about this morning is a Christian worldview. Now, let me explain what I mean by this. Throughout the last few weeks, we've been talking about really differences and challenges that God's people must overcome in the quest for unity. And we've highlighted various differences that God's people have, and we've talked about how we as God's people must bridge these gaps. One of the greatest, of course, is age differences. And as I reflected further on age differences, I've come to realize that really the challenges that my generation and even Gen Z below me face are somewhat different from those of you who are older face. Many of them are the same. Sexual temptation, pride, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, they've always been around. Many of the temptations are similar. But many of the challenges are different because we live in a much more diverse world than most of you grew up in. Even I grew up in the wonderful 90s, graduated high school in 2008. My high school was somewhat diverse. There were a couple of individuals that identified as Hindu. We had one Muslim, a few minorities. But overarchingly, it was a very Protestant Catholic school, very white, and I didn't face much diversity. My parents grew up in Amundsen County, just right across the creek from Butler County. They had no diversity. They had one Catholic student, and that was the diversity. It just was not a diverse school at all. Well, when you look at today's generation, we have to now really question not only all the different denominations of Christianity, but now even talk about different religions and worldviews. We were talking about this morning in the high school class, and at Southern and at Central High School, there's all different types of religions and all different types of views and all different types of background. Here's my question I really want to probe this week and next. How can a Christian stay grounded in this chaotic world? How can we stay grounded in this chaotic world? When we are bombarded on every side with different worldviews, different beliefs, different ideologies, different religions, how can we stay grounded in God and in Christ in this chaotic world? What I'd like to do is this morning present a lesson from the book of Proverbs. As I reflect on what book really best answers this question, my answer to this would not have been Proverbs a year ago, but our Proverbs class really lightened my heart toward Proverbs. But I want to look at Proverbs. How can all of us, but especially my generation, those a bit older and those a bit younger, really stay grounded in this chaotic world? We have all different types of ideologies, all different types of views, all different types of religions that are bombarded upon us. How can we stay grounded in this chaotic world? Well, Solomon, many thousands of years ago, about 3,000 years ago, answers this question for us. And he is going to give his son counsel about he himself could stay grounded. So let's begin in Proverbs chapter 1. As we read through Proverbs chapter 1, I want you to notice with me just the challenges that he recognizes his son is going to face. Proverbs 1, beginning in verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, let us swallow them alive, and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all precious goods, and we shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot among us, we will have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths. For their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird, but these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. What is Solomon warning his son of? My son, look at verse 14. Do not walk in the way with them. Here is what Solomon is warning his son of. Do not walk in the way of sinners. I'm convinced that he has his father's writings in mind, Psalm 1. Do not walk in the way of the wicked, the counsel of scoffers. He's warning his son, do not walk in the way of the wicked. So let's understand this from the beginning. While I think really the internet has really brought to light just all of the different views and ideologies and worldviews that exist. Have differing paths in life always been around? Have different ideas always been pervasive? Yes, absolutely. And while the manifestation of these ways may be different in my generation from those before, it's still the same challenge. How can anyone, no matter the age, no matter the challenge, stay in the way of God? He warns his son over in chapter 2 of the same thing. A different problem, but same thing. Look at chapter 2, verse 16. He warns his son, so you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companions of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. Here the temptation is different, but the problem's the same. And what's this problem? Look at verse 19. They have left the paths of life. Why? Because her house, verse 18, goes to the departed. So, brethren, here is the problem as Solomon sees it. We have the way of the righteous, the way of the wicked. The way of life, the way of death. The way of good, the way of evil. And while that way of wickedness and error and sin has found different versions throughout human history, this base choice of which path in life will I walk, which way will I follow, it's always been one that God's people have had to choose. So this is the choice then that Solomon gives his son. We can, if we're not wise, walk in the way of the wicked. And what a horrible way that will be, Solomon warns his son. What he spends the first 9 chapters of Proverbs doing is warning his son of the destruction and the ruin and the pain and the agony that this path brings. Yes, it's enticing, but it brings about death and pain. But we have a choice. There's another path that Solomon offers his son. Chapter 2, verse 20. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. What way does he offer his son? He offers his son the way of the good, the path of the righteous. This is the choice that Solomon tells his son he must make. Which way will you follow? In which path will you walk? The way of the righteous or the way of the wicked? The path of good or the path of evil? Now, brethren, before I continue and explain further this path of righteousness, I do want us to understand how many different forms the path of evil takes. How many different forms the paths of error take. As I said at the beginning of this lesson, I think my generation, and even below me, Gen Z, is really faced with more ideologies and more worldviews than my parents' generation ever could have imagined. I have a book on my shelf that talks about these different worldviews. Within any American high school, most, these are what you'll find. You'll find New Age movements. You'll find Eastern pantheism, nihilism, that is the view of nothing, naturalism, scientism, postmodernism, Christianity, Hinduism, Islam, Wicca, the list goes on. Yes, there are many choices that we must make. Many different ideas that are brought to light. But I want us all to remember and make this very, very clear. The base choice that Solomon offers his son, which path will you follow? In which way will you walk? The path of good and righteousness and holiness and truth, or the way of error? Now understand with me. While it's very easy for me in a sermon to say, look, there's two very clear paths, I understand that's very idealistic. Because in life, it's far, 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 far more difficult. Trying to actually discern which is the way of the righteous and which is the way of the wicked. Which is the way of truth, which is the way of error. It's a challenge that we all must face, and it's questions that each of us must pose. But still, those are the questions that we must ask. So then the question then becomes, how can I find the way of the righteous? How can I find the way of the good and right and holy and just? Go down with me to chapter 3. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord. Trust in Yahweh with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths right. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear Yahweh and turn from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Solomon here has already given this instruction to his son back in chapter 1. But he repeats this various times throughout 1 through 9. My son, do not forget your teaching. Here's what Solomon knows. His son is going to face various challenges and ideas and differences. Remember what I've taught you. Remember what your mother has taught you. Verse 3, bind it around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. What is Solomon telling his son? The things that I taught you while you were raised, remember them, cherish them, live in them, put them on, dwell in them, think on them, meditate on them. And I think, isn't that what every good parent wants of their children? For when it's time for them to leave the nest, that they will know the instruction and the training, the Torah, that their parents have given? Well, what is the one instruction above all others that Solomon wants his son to know? What's the one teaching above all others he wants his son to remember? Trust in Yahweh with all your heart. If there's one thing that Solomon wants his son to know, it's this. Trust in Yahweh. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Well, what does this mean? To trust in Yahweh with all your heart. I know this is Ben's favorite verse from Proverbs, I think. What does this mean? To trust in Yahweh with all your heart. Well, I think the challenge for us in understanding this verse is the word heart. Because our culture has this connotation of heart of being the place where your emotions are. Being where the left brain, the right brain rather, is. That's what the heart is. Well, the biblical idea of heart is very, very different from what we think of. Really, throughout Scripture, the heart is the center of who you are. Look at chapter 3. He says in verse 3, "Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart." What does Solomon tell his son? He tells his son that in the very tablet of your heart, the very center of who you are, trust in Yahweh. Trust in Yahweh. And brethren, this I think is really what Solomon is telling his son. The heart encompasses your emotions. It encompasses your thoughts. It encompasses your feelings. It encompasses your motivations. It encompasses your desires. It encompasses all that makes you you. And every part of who you are, in the deepest center of who you are, trust in Yahweh. Trust in Yahweh. I've used this illustration before to talk about God, but allow me to use it to talk about us. In Rise of the Guardians, it's the most underwatched movie of the last generation for children. Santa Claus gives the... Thanks, Nathan. It's really, really good. Santa Claus gives the analogy of a Russian nesting doll. And whenever you have a Russian nesting doll, you take off each level. And then whenever you get to the center, you find who your person really is. Brethren, what's at your center? For God, you should know what it is. Read Exodus 33 if you don't. But what is at your center? What makes you tick? What motivates you? What do you long for? What do you think about? What do you desire? What do you want to be? What is at the center of who you are? If Yahweh, the Lord, His incarnate Son Jesus, and His Holy Spirit are not at the center of who you are, just give it a few years and you'll find the path of the wicked. Give it a few years and you'll find the path of the wicked. Brother, the challenge for my generation is that we can so easily live splintered lives. The digital revolution has allowed us to believe anything that we want to believe and has now brought about this division of life. But what Proverbs reminds us and really urges us is you have to live a united, holistic life. In every facet of life, trust Yahweh. In education, trust Yahweh. In finances, trust Yahweh. In relationships, trust Yahweh. In what you say, trust Yahweh. In what you think, trust Yahweh. In how you work, trust Yahweh. In what work you decide to do, trust Yahweh. In what you give to others, trust Yahweh. In how you behave, trust Yahweh. In what you do for recreation, trust Yahweh. In every facet of life, trust Yahweh. Trust Yahweh. Whenever I was trying to pick out an engagement ring, one of the choices I had to make was how many prongs are you going to put on that ring? Okay, how many prongs are you going to put on the ring? I had a lot to learn in buying an engagement ring. If it had not been for Jessica's maid of honor helping me out, I would have been clueless. But whenever I first went into the store, I saw a lot of rings that had three prongs on them. And I thought it was so pretty because if you have a three-pronged ring, it just really let the diamond show. It just seemed beautiful. But I remember one of the women was helping me. She thought I was like 14 at the time. But she was helping me out. And she said, "You do realize that if you get a three-pronged ring and one of those prongs falls off, the diamond falls right out. Good point. Let me get about eight prongs on there." Here was her point. If one prong breaks, everything else falls apart. If the only part of your life that you trust God in is church, you have a one-pronged religion. But when you trust God in church and in relationships and in family and in finances and in recreation and in thinking and in talking and in doing, in every facet of life, Satan can come and bend a prong, but you have eight others supporting that diamond. Brethren, how many prongs do you have holding up your ring? Is God really at the center of who you are? Do you trust the way of Yahweh? Do you follow the path of the righteous in every single facet of life? Or do you have a one-pronged religion? What's at your center? What's at the core of who you are? Brethren, here's what Solomon tells his son. When your worldview is founded on God, then you'll walk the way of the righteous. Go over to chapter 3 with me. Look at chapter 3, verse 13. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom, and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her, and those who hold fast are called blessed. When my worldview is really founded on God, then I will walk the way of the righteous, and I will find the tree of life, and I will be blessed. Brethren, there is no journey more important. No question that needs asking more than who is God. I commend Randy so highly for his Wednesday night class that he's been leading. When Randy was trying to decide last year about what to talk about, everything he said went back to the very foundation of who God is. Brethren, at our core, at our center, at our beginning and at our end, we must trust in Yahweh. We must come to know who He is. We must come to know His ways. We must come to know who He is. And then we can trust in Yahweh with all of our heart. So, brethren, then let me ask the question again. How can we stay grounded in a chaotic world? Yes, I think the internet makes it appear that our world is far more chaotic than it's ever been. But I really don't know if that's the real case. How do we stay grounded in this chaotic world? Well, Solomon has told us, by trusting in God with all of my heart. When you trust in God with all of your heart, at the very center of your nesting doll, and when you have every prong of your life supporting God, then you will walk the way of the righteous, and the way of the wicked will never find you. Get out your songbooks, please, if you're using them. Invitation song will be number 281. Brethren, I want to ask you, when you were younger, or perhaps if you're not there yet, was your faith or is your faith going to be challenged? As I've told y'all many times, mine was. I had so many doubts and so many questions and just so much fear in my heart. It was a very, very, very tough time. But fortunately, I had a lot of good brothers and sisters in my life at that time who they were able to come and help mend my ring. They were able to help put the prongs back on. And thanks be to the Lord that while I found the way of the wicked for a while, I came back to the way of the righteous. Trust in Yahweh with all your heart. This morning I offer an invitation not only for the one who has not yet come to saving obedient faith in Jesus, but also for the one who is already in Christ but has stumbled in the way of the wicked. We're here to fix your ring. We're here to support your prongs. We're here to remind you of the love and grace of God. If anyone has any need this morning, come forward while we stand and sing.